Welcome to Raising Playful Tots. Raising Playful Tots is a weekly podcast about mums making the most of early years playtime. My name is Melitza and I'm your host. Welcome to the Play Space. It's here that we focus on play that we want to see and experience in our homes. We cover play-related topics to inspire, teach, challenge, and lead us to have a great time with these kids of ours that we have. You have young children under 5 years old? This is the podcast for you. Introduce a new play idea. Welcome to Raising Playful Tots, show number 56. Thanks for listening to the show today. If you're new here, welcome, and hi to the regular playmates. Plenty of room with the tweezers and beads over here. Last podcast, I interviewed Blythe Lipman, author of Help! My Baby Came Without Instructions, about baby play, and ran a contest to receive one of Blythe's books. So if you missed that one, pop on over to the blog where you can listen to that show and find the archive of all the shows at www.raisingplayfultots.com/shows. This week's show is an interview with Adele Crozier, mother of two little ones, a former nursery manager, and author of Sensory Activities for Babies and Toddlers. I'll be right back after this short break.
Psst, Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
This forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Today I'm talking to Adele Crozier, mother to two little ones and a former nursery manager. She documents her play activities at monkeyingaroundone.blogspot.com. Welcome to Raising Playful Tots. Adele, you talk really candidly about the struggle you have had between work, the amount of time your children were in nursery care, and having less money. Can you share a little bit about that time and the impact on how you viewed play?
Yes, sure. Yes, I was, when I was working, I was a nursery manager at a nursery in London. My day was waking up at 5:30 to get the train into London to look after other people's children, and then not getting home till 7:30 at night for old daughter where we lived. And she was in childcare herself 12 hours a day, so that was quite a long day for her really as well. And when I fell pregnant with our second child, the plan was that I would take him with me to London whilst their daughter went to school and then after school club. It didn't work out that way in the end. I ended up deciding to stay at home. The money wasn't enough for us really to make the decision for me to go. I felt that the hours that they'd both been in childcare didn't warrant me going back to work, really. I wanted them to have, you know, a better lifestyle, to be able to spend more time with me at home and get, you know, the opportunities that they could from a stay-at-home mum.
That must have been a really tough decision to make.
It was. The obviously, the money side of it still affects us now. We've had to cut down on a lot of the luxuries that we would have had beforehand and find other ways of doing things with children. So the whole creative and activities at home is one way that I find we could spend on things rather than having to go out places to find things to do.
You're not alone. There are so many other parents who have had to make decisions like that, you know, up and down the land. We're all, you know, trying to find the best way to parent our children, and sometimes we don't have the choices that we would like to have, but we do the best that we can with what we have. And so that's great that you're able to reconcile the playing that you wanted to do and being able to stay at home.
Yeah, I definitely find that having that one-to-one with the children all through the day, being able to be there to notice those big moments in their lives, you know, the development steps that they go, the first time they say a new word or speak. And my eldest, it's her coming out with little comments of things that she's working out in her brain that I probably would have missed out on if I was, that sort of compensate for, you know, those little struggles that we go through day to day.
Yes. And what about now? I see from your website that you are training to become a childminder. How have you found that journey?
Quite exciting, really. I think since I gave up work, you know, working in a nursery, we've done lots of activities with children. I love watching children grow and develop. And I think from looking at becoming a childminder, it's got me to come back to my old roots of what I used to do for a living, but get to do it from my home, which I think for parents that decide to become a stay-at-home mum or dad, it's quite a good opportunity for them to earn a living, still be able to look after their children.
Is there a lot of paperwork involved that you have to do? Because I think not all of our listeners will be familiar with what a childminder does. Could you just briefly run through what that means?
It does mean that you need to have certain policies and things in place and teach for those children. And when you first decide to become a childminder, there's a course that you can go on through the National Childminding Association Trust. And that really does help you along the way to know what you need to have in place, things like registering with Ofsted, who will come and help you register your premises and make sure that you've got everything in place that needs to be there, really.
Excellent. So you have to have the exciting ideas and the paperwork as well to go along with it.
Yes. I think there's a lot of things on the internet as well that can help you if you're stuck on ideas of what to be able to do with children. But as a parent, I think sometimes those ideas are there in your head. They just need to come out.
Exactly. And that's exactly what you've done, because you've written an ebook called Sensory Activities for Babies and Toddlers. Now, we're big fans of sensory play over here. We've not always been. I have had three very different experiences with sensory play of my boys, but I was so excited when I saw that you'd written an ebook all about sensory play, because I think I just had the most, I don't know, the best time, and I know that the boys have the best time when we have sensory play. So what made you decide to write about sensory activities?
I guess really when I gave up working in the nursery, I found that I was struggling to think of ideas of what I was born. And it was a way of me, you know, coming back to those ideas that I used to have, finding ideas for what I could do with him cheaply at home with the things that we have around the house. And, you know, children learn through sensory activities at a very young age, so it was important for me to go back and try and remember some of those ideas of what I used to do.
And so why do you think that sensory activities are important then?
From birth, children are learning through their senses, different smells around them, touching different things, and obviously taste as well. So I think it's really important that if you can open them up to as many different senses and feelings, then they're always going to be learning. And obviously doing that with their mum or dad is a great bonding experience as well.
I think some of my happiest memories are sensory activities that I can remember when I was younger. And I think that I know that my boys will remember some of these activities that you do with sensory. I don't know, something about touching and feeling and doing and experiencing. You kind of feel all of those things when you're doing your activities. So let's get into the book. Tell us more about your book and how is it useful for parents?
think it's quite useful because I think with parents sometimes, if obviously you've never come across any of these, it can give you ideas of some really simple things that you might find around the house. So there's ideas in there such as pacifier play in their kitchen. As long as it's a supervised activity, there's no reason why you can't get pasta out for them to, you know, run their fingers through, to pick it up, feel different textures, different pots, activities such as jelly play. So it's, you know, a really strange thing to be able to feel their fingers flipping through jelly. It might be warm or there might be some cold jelly. It's a nice experience where the parents can sort of see this. Their reactions, but also know things and trust their parents on what they're experiencing.
Oh, it sounds really exciting. Jelly play, you know, jello and jelly, you know, being able to touch it and squidge it. You know, some children really don't like that feeling, and you kind of have to leave them. And it's like that funny thing that you leave in a room and walk away. You know, children can't help but touch it. And when it starts moving and wobbling, oh, it's just the best. It's just the best. And I wanted to talk about babies, you know, with... They love to put things in their hair, on their bodies, everywhere. And that can really worry parents sometimes, you know, with the applesauce and the yogurt. I know my boys like to do that. And it makes a gigantic mess. But it is so much fun. If you can let it go and let it happen and let them play like that, how would you encourage parents to have good, messy playtime experiences?
I think the best way of looking at it is being as organised as you can, really. I think the best thing to do is make sure down or blankets or towels, and make sure you're ready so that no matter how messy they get, they can always be popped in the bath afterwards. They're wearing clothes, but it doesn't matter if they get messy, and the floor's well covered so that you can always clear it up quickly, get it out of the way, so then there's no worries about, oh gosh, look how messy they're getting. But the children are getting as much out of it as they can because you're relaxed and they're relaxed and you can just enjoy the experience.
Excellent. You can get back to our inner child.
Definitely.
Excellent. Sounds like being organized and preparation is the key there. And to be able to let go, you have to be organized and prepared. Then everybody will have a good time.
Definitely.
Before we wrap up here, what would be your top tip for raising a playful tot?
Experience as much as they possibly can, and letting them have fun as often as they possibly can.
That's a great tip. Where can we buy your sensory playbook?
Our sensory playbook is available on our blog, which will link you through to our Folksy page as well, and it will be sent through to you within just 5 hours.
Excellent. Adele has kindly offered a Raising Playful Tots listener a copy of her book, Sensory Activities for Babies and Toddlers. Just send an email into melitsa@raisingplayfultots.com. That's melitsa@raisingplayfultots.com, saying that you want to win the sensory activities. I'll choose a person at random and forward your address onto Adele. She'll be able to send you the link via email so that you can download this book. Thank you so much, Adele, for coming on and sharing about sensory play.
Thank you so much. It's been great fun.
So where else can we find you online?
We also have a Twitter link as well, which is at mlog. And we also have a Facebook page as well, which is Monkeying Around.
I say that everybody should look out for Adele and go follow her on Twitter. And if you're on Facebook, go on over and say hello and say, hey, I want some more sensory play activities. I'll be right back after this short break.
Welcome back. Fancy trying some of those sensory play activities? Adele has offered a copy of her book to one Raising Playful Tots listener. So drop me an email to melitsa@raisingplayfultots.com. telling me that you would like to win sensory play activities. I'll pick a winner to receive the book. This contest is open worldwide, and Adele's book will be sent via email. The contest will close soon, and the full details of the contest, see the show notes for this show at raisingplayfultots.com/56. Time for the weekly find. This is a part of the show where I highlight a play activity or resource that I found interesting this week. By the age of 11, every child should be reading 50 books a year, says Education Secretary Michael Gove. But what about young children? Some people love lists because it gives a starting point for finding books, or fresh ideas because you just don't really know which books to choose, and others are happy to go along without them. Either way, Zoe of playingbythebook.net has a treat for us. 50 plus picture books every child should be read, a non-prescriptive list for inspiration. I love how she titles that. It's always fun to look over a list for me and smile at the familiar ones and jot down or wish list the ones that you'd really like to get. What are your must-have picture books? It's so interesting to see other people's lists, especially as we all grow up in different places and experience so many different books and from different countries. So let's look. The top 10 books in Australia, Canada, the UK or the US, they're all so different. But you can often get those same books worldwide, and certainly through your independent bookshops or at your local library. Why don't you pop on over and see what Zoe's list is like and see if you've got anything that you would like to add. We'd love to hear your views on the interview. To find out about the links to any of the articles, websites that have been mentioned in the show, visit the show notes by going to RaisingPlayfulTots.com/56, as that's the number of this show. If you have show ideas or just want to comment about play, send your comments to me at Melitza@RaisingPlayfulTots.com. That's M-E-L-I-T-S-A. You can like us on Facebook. That's Facebook.com/RaisingPlayfulTots, or tweet me at PlayActivities on Twitter. We have a voicemail line, and the details, as always, are in the show notes. Due to a recent update, you can now listen to the show via your iPad and iPhone directly at the website. You can click that little play button, and as usual, you can also listen via your smartphone using the application Stitcher, or if you prefer, using iTunes. Thanks for listening to the show today. You've been listening to Raising Playful Tots, show number 56. Come over and play next week. Until then, find some time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime. Goodbye!